You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com on WCRS FM 98.3 and 102.1, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Baby, baby.
Here I go. Here I go. Again, girl, what's my weakness?
Say what? No, she didn't. I'm Kim, Little Sister Martin. This is the Average Joe or the CEO. Heard exclusively on the world's greatest radio, TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio the way it should be heard.
Many people wonder where my secret lies. I'm not cute or built to suit a fashion model size. When I start to tell them, they think I'm telling lies. I say, it's in the reach of my arms, the span of my hips, the stride of my step, the curl of my lips. I'm a woman, phenomenally. I walk into a room just as cool as you please, and to a man the fellows stand or fall down on their knees. Then they swarm around me, a hive of honeybees. I say, it's the fire in my eyes, the flash of my teeth, the swing in my waist, the joy in my feet. I'm a woman, phenomenally. Men themselves have wondered what they see in me. They try so much, but they can't touch my inner mystery. When I try to show them, they say they still can't see. I say, it's in the arch of my back, the sun of my smile, the ride of my breasts, the grace of my style. I'm a woman, phenomenally. Now you understand just why my head's not bowed. I don't shout or jump about or have to talk real loud. When you see me passing, it ought to make you proud. I say, it's in the click of my heels, the bend of my hair, the palms of my hands, the need for my care. Because I'm a woman, phenomenally, phenomenal woman, all you women and me.
The character of every woman runs deep. She can take care of her family, works a job, offers to help her church, and in her free time, she can write plays. Now she's an author. With inspiring women like Maya Angelou setting the pace, no wonder we can be every woman. The truth has been told. TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. You're in touch with your girl, Kim, Little Sister Martin. And I'm in the studio telling you the way radio, which should be heard only here on TalkTainment Radio. I got Miss D.L. Augustine in the studio. We listening to I'm Every Woman because that's what we are. We every woman.
Right, that sounds good.
Don't that sound good? Right. Listen, you know right. What? First of all, I want to say thank you so much to the Miss Maya Angelou who just, you know, turned it up for us all
Absolutely.
The way. May she rest in peace because she inspired us to know
yes.
that black is beautiful.
Beautiful.
Curvy. I am phenomenal.
Yes.
From my curves to my hair to the way I walk, dress, and talk.
Yes.
So, you know what, for all the young ladies who have a doubt of who they are, just know you are truly phenomenal.
Just like you are.
Just like you are. So, what is going on, Miss Augustine? You know, I kind of kicked a little bit about you. You wrote plays. You're a mother. You're an employee. You work for yourself. I mean, and now you're an author.
Yes, I've been busy, as you can tell. It's been a phenomenal 2 years, actually. Writing this book has been cathartic. It's just been cathartic. And God has done so many things just through the project of writing this book. So many people have already been touched. Their lives have been touched, but nobody's life has been touched as mine has.
Well, you know what? I think that's beautiful because, you know, let's talk a little bit about where you came from because you were writing plays. Tell me about some of the plays that you've written and produced.
Well, the first play that I wrote, the name was Turning Point, and it was about a young man who was involved in gang life, and he had a younger brother whom he loved, but he didn't want his brother involved in gang life. So he trying to keep his brother out, but his brother loving him and wanting to be like him followed his example and not his words.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that in real life. Talk is cheap. You know, you have to live a life in front of your family, in front of your friends, because it's okay. It's good that he told him, like, oh, you don't want to come here, and that's all good. But, you know, people are looking at what you do.
Yeah, it ain't what you say. It's what you do.
Absolutely.
You know, that goes way back. Don't do as I do as I say, but that doesn't always work out.
That is so true. You know how it was when we were kids, and you know your mom tell you, don't do as I do, you do as I say.
Right.
That works until she gets out the door good, and then we do what they do.
Right. Because you emulate your atmosphere.
Absolutely.
You try to become what you see and what you surround yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You are who your friends say you are. Anyway, because sometimes they say, you know, the apple and the tree, but, you know, sometimes that ain't necessarily so. But you always try to be like your parents in some way.
In some way.
Even when you try not to be, you do.
Yeah, that's true. It comes out. It's, you know, like I stuck my arm through my coat sleeve and my mother's hand came out. So,
yeah. I like that. That's a good way to look at it. So what other plays have you done?
I've done, the most recent play I did was a play called The Devil is a Lie.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a great play, actually. It had a little comedic factor to it. And the most exciting thing about this play was that it didn't have character names like Bob, Sally, Ricky. It had names like Sister Christian, Sister Chastity, Deacon Hug Too Long,
yeah.
Brother Carnal, Pastor Scaredy Cat, and the names of the characters represented spirits in the church.
Uh-huh.
And Sister Hater, Sister Gossip, we all know these people in the church.
Right, right.
And they did what they do. They did what their names implied. And basically the story was about a pastor who's over at church, but he's not really the leader of the church.
Mm-hmm.
The deacon board ran the church.
Okay.
And so God had to deal with him to bring him to a place where he stood up and became the man of God that God ordained him to be. But that, starting from point A, the deacon board rained havoc throughout that church.
Yeah, I bet they did because, you know, when you got a bunch of people telling you what to do, what you think and what God wants for you sometimes ain't what people want.
And that is so true.
In life, period, isn't it?
And the Bible says, I'd rather obey God than man. It's better to obey God than man.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, and, you know, you see that today. You know, you see that today. You see, you know, like different things going on. That, you know, God didn't ordain some of the things that we do in our churches. They're just things that we do out of tradition. And, and that's basically the premise that's in the play. You know, it's and God is tired. You know, it's like I think God is tired of foolishness. I really do.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much because everything that he has me write, it addresses those
some of those issues.
Yeah, it does.
Speaking about your writing, so from what I understand, this is the first of a 3-part series of the Josiah Project.
Yes, it is.
So what inspired you to write this?
That's a great question. Honestly, the Josiah effect started out with a letter, and I'm just going to share this with you, and this is a true story. I'm on my way home from work, and I'm driving. It's just a regular day, and I get close to my home, and I start crying. I just start feeling like really like sad about like this really, it was like a burden. And I started crying, like, and I said, God, what is this? I didn't know what it was. I was, like, I mean, I wasn't depressed. I mean, I was regular, like, no more than 5 seconds before. Now it's like I feel like the weight of the world is on my shoulders, and I feel this sadness that's into the very core of me. And I just start crying and weeping. And so I'm getting out the car, walking in the house, but I'm still crying. And it's like, I can't stop crying. And I walk in the house and God tells me to go get paper and pen. And so I go in the house and I start writing and I write a letter. I don't even know what I'm writing. I write whatever God is telling me in my spirit. I just write this letter. And when I got finished, it was a letter from a child. It was a letter from a child to God about his mother. And this child loved his mother, but his mother was dysfunctional.
Okay.
She was dysfunctional. And the child talked about how much he loved her and how he tried to get her attention and how she didn't even see him. He was invisible to her. And so at the end, the child says, God, how can I get my mom to love me more? But what do I know? I'm just 10 years old. So that is what, and that, I wrote that and that was it.
That's the birth of your book. Yeah, now I see why you call it The Effect.
Yes.
The Josiah Effect.
Yeah, well, it's the Josiah Effect because this little boy has an effect on everybody that he comes in contact with. He makes them have an aha moment, or he brings them to a point of clarity, or he just changes. He makes them look at things different. You know, it's like everybody that he comes in contact with, God uses this little boy because you know why he's able to be used is because the little boy loves. He just loves. He doesn't, he's 10, but he's very mature for his age. But the boy has this unyielding capacity just to love and just to be open. And God uses and works through that to touch the lives of many people.
So tell me about some of the other characters in the book.
Well, one of the main characters, or the main character, is actually the psychiatrist who takes him on as a pro bono patient.
Okay.
And this is a very successful woman. She has finances. She's has multiple degrees. She has this prestigious job. And she... the letter is brought to her attention by her best friend, who is happens to be Josiah's teacher. And when she finds the letter, she's like, oh, my God, this kid is on the edge. So she goes and talks to Josiah's mother. She instantly sees, like, you know, she doesn't get it, that this boy is in danger. So she calls her friend and, like Robin, you got to read this letter. You got to read this letter. And at first Robin's like, no, I can't because I'm real busy.
And I'm making money.
There you go. and then she agrees just to get her friend off her back to read the letter. And the letter affects her like as nothing ever had before that point. She becomes determined. She's going to save this child. But what she doesn't know is that the child has been sent to her by God to save her from some past emotional scars that she's had from a child. So that's kind of the twist. And basically their paths intersect, and hold on to your seats. It's a journey.
Okay. So is this any of this book from your life experiences? Is this, you know, true story or, you know, personal stuff or?
Nothing is truly my story, except are there bits and pieces of me weaved throughout the book? Absolutely. Because mm-hmm. I was raised dysfunctionally. My mother was an alcoholic. And so, and that invisible thing, I was invisible. You know, it was almost like nobody really knew I was there. That's what the way that I felt growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it's like, no, did I get beat? No, I didn't get beat or anything, no more than whippings or anything, but I was neglected. And, you know, it took me to talk to a counselor to see that it's okay to think that to know that that wasn't right. What happened to me?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, because, you know, I'm thinking, well, I didn't get raped or I didn't get, you know, these horrific things. But I mean, my childhood was not a good childhood.
Okay.
So is that weaved throughout the story? Absolutely. It is. And pieces of me are throughout the story, and pieces of other people. Pieces of other people's stories that they've shared with me.
Uh-huh.
You know, I put that's in the book. You know, it's just a conglomeration of different people's stories.
Well, you know, what's so interesting is how we met. It was
Absolutely.
Like from the moment we met, we just connected
immediately
on like so many different levels.
Absolutely.
And the funny thing is, I have seen you before in places and I always noticed you.
Really?
You know, it was just something about, you know, that's why I chose Phenomenal Woman and I'm Every Woman, because very rare today do you see a female or a woman who was comfortable in their skin. And from the moment I saw you at church one night. You didn't even know I was there. Mm-hmm. Friend of mine was preaching.
Okay.
I came in here and you walked in the room and you just kind of like commanded the room just with the essence of your womanhood. You were very classy. Just everything about you just was, you just had this aura really about you. And so that was the first time I saw you. You spoke, you know, I was like, man, this lady right here is tough, you know, and it's always good as a woman, a younger woman or a woman period, to see another woman who was comfortable, because it's encouraging for me.
Absolutely.
Then I met you again at a graduation party. It was at your house.
Absolutely. I remember that.
Right. And we connected from there. And then I began to find out all the different things that you did, which just totally blew my mind. I mean, you would have thought we knew each other for and ever. I think I came over at like 1 and I ain't leave till about 10:30, something like that.
That's true.
You know, and you told me about a play that you wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about that and we just was talking about the pieces.
Absolutely.
And so here you are now with this book. So what is the message that you want people to take from this book?
That's a great question. The message that, you know, it's funny because I did not want to write Christian fiction.
Okay.
I said when I started writing the book, nah, I'm not going to. I don't want it to be preachy because I'm going to limit my demographic.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I said. So I was going to write a general fiction book, and it was going to be about the psychiatrist and the little boy.